And this is why in our training we go through three stages. There's the training in mindfulness, there's the training in compassion, and then there's the training in insight. And the three go together. More and more, as we proceed with our investigation, what's going on, we will see how each one is essential. So I'm assuming that most of you have established a relatively stable level of mindfulness. That doesn't mean you always go around in bliss. It means that there is sufficient awareness in your mind for you to be able to know what's happening while it's happening most of the time, number one. And number two, that you are beginning to detect the constant play of preference in your minds. Yeah? If I made the right assumptions
on those. I'm sure about being mindful all the time.
Sorry?
I don't know if I can agree that I'm aware of what's happening as it's happening.
All the time.
Not even, definitely not a majority.
But at least you know what it means.
Yeah. I aspire.
Yeah, good.
Something I'm also realizing is when I'm escaping.
When you're escaping.
When there's a negative feeling.
Yes.
And I say to myself, okay, this is a negative feeling. Let's see if I can sit with it. And then for a while I can. And then I realize I drift off into Christmas and New Year.
Good. Now, this phrase, sitting with it, terrifies me. What does it really mean when you say that to yourself?
Try to feel where it is.
Tolerating.
Tolerating. Is there an element of that? And then what is the implication of that? Huh? If I tolerate it long enough, it will go away. That's what so often people mean when they use this phrase, I will sit with it. What's really the hidden agenda is, I will sit there, I will tolerate it, because I think that if I do that, something will happen and it will finally go away and leave me alone. So, it's very valuable to look at that, because if you're having a pleasant feeling, do you ever say, I will now sit with this? We don't, do we? So, when we're looking at the subject of acceptance, look at how the mind is when it's experiencing its preferred state, like happiness, peace, all that rest. And that is acceptance. And then ask if you can have that same attitude towards a painful emotion. And then you will start understanding what acceptance means.
Yeah. Well, I think you touched on it now. The point was that could it not also mean that if you sit with it, you accept it and you become aware of it, instead of suppressing it? Could it not work either way?
Well, it could, but I'm not asking for theory. I'm asking for what you would actually do. If you said to yourself, I'm now going to sit with it.
For me, it would be the path to accepting that that's what it is.
Good. So, in that case, you wouldn't have said to yourself, I'm going to sit with it, would
no.
you? You would just naturally have experienced its coming and its going. But you see, you use that specific phrase that sets my hair on end.
But with the positive feeling, I've also noticed, as you said now, that's true acceptance. In the beginning it is, and then it turns into grasping.
Excellent. Absolutely so. And this is why, within the Nyingma teaching, they have this whole category of pure emotions and what they call near enemies. So initially we experience the pure emotion like joy. And then the mind grasps, and it converts into the near enemy, which is excitement. And they categorize all the emotions like that, for exactly the reason you've said. So it's all helping us to see how the mind is constantly doing things. And almost always what it's doing is subversive.
Oh.
It is subverting pure experience into something egocentric. Now, let's not get the feeling that this is bad. It's not bad, it's not wrong, it's not horrible. It's just, this is how the mind works. And this is what we're seeking to understand. Why are we seeking to understand it in this specific context? Because we're looking at how we can cultivate compassion. And one of the big dangers when we get into this area of cultivating a quality is that we will suppress the opposite and then fabricate the appearance of the preferred emotion. In other words, go into contrivance. So, all these days what I've been doing is trying to help you prepare the ground so that you understand that the compassion training actually moves in with all our existing states of mind. And we need to take account of all that so that we don't end up suppressing and we don't end up fabricating.
So again, how would you know when you've reached a point where you've accepted and you're aware?
How would you know when you've reached a point when you've accepted and you're aware? Use an existing experience that you are able to recognize. Have you ever been completely happy?
I've been happy.
Have you, when you were happy, have you known you were happy?
Not consciously.
If somebody at that moment had said to you, are you happy or not, what would you have said?
I'd say yes, I'm happy.
How would you have known?
It's a feeling, I guess.
Okay. So when you have that feeling of being happy, do you have any sense of striving to be something different?
No.
Then that's acceptance. You all see that?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what you've helped us identify is that it's actually subtle, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's very subtle, and usually we only recognize it in retrospect.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's really interesting. Can you be like that even with the most painful emotion or the most negative emotion? Can you? Huh?
I mean, is it possible?
Is it possible? Good question.
Are you asking, is it possible?
Oh, no, are you able?
Yeah.
All the time? Sometimes.
I think when you choose to just accept it as it is and love the suffering, then the suffering changes.
Have you done that?
Yeah.
Often?
No, it's a very new thing, but I feel like a lot more free than that.
Good.
A lot more. Yeah, there's not so much fighting anymore. It's just this okayness.
Excellent. So this is the area, this is the direction our training is taking us. To this ability to be the totally impartial witness of our own experience, where whatever is there, it is the same. So compassion and equanimity go together. Huh? Now, clearly in the beginning we won't be able to do that, or at least most of us won't. Why? Because our minds are dominated by the egocentric preference system. So the sense of self is always at play, and it's always dictating that its preference must be what is. So what does not meet its preference must be got rid of in some way or another. So we know now the territory we're going into with our compassion training. And this is why I started with those four reflections. In case you haven't got them clear in your minds, you could write them down now. Because the four reflections prepare us for the real inquiry into our capacity and our willingness to be compassionate.